Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
There you go, Chad Ford. You get you in for 7 minutes. So, you know, that's what we got here.
8:07. Oh, boy, 7 minutes.
I love the draft.
I feel so honored.
We are the number one television market for the NBA draft.
And we get 7 whole minutes. With this wonderful.
I appreciate. Hey, come on now. Don't be ripping a guest that was just on with us.
Well, you act like you're just in awe that we got 7 minutes. Big deal. I mean, who is this guy? Do you know anything about him?
What does he know? He's the leading authority on the NBA
who
draft.
Says so?
ESPN. He's ESPN's top draft analyst.
So he's what, Joe Lunardi? Or?
Okay, I'm done. I got to go to break. I can't do it. Let's go to break.
Is he Joe Lunardi or not?
Oh, God bless James Black. That's how I'm starting the show. I'm blessing James Black today for that sound. Is he Joe Lunardi or not? Billy Reid, God rest his soul, Drew Diener, Chad Ford. It's sound that will live forever. It's the Roundtable, ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm James Strebel. Anna Cirullo sitting across from me today.
Yo, yo, yo.
Tanner Brutomesso, he is running the board. I was waiting for the sound.
Yeah, James told me ahead of time to do that. And then right when you said Anna, I was like, I was supposed to do something.
Brain freeze.
Gotta have her sound.
Now we have an audience today, too. I don't know how long they'll be here. We have intern Emma and intern Aiden here.
Shout out.
Hanging out today, learning the ropes, and, you know, just a couple days removed from their first on-air sports centers where we had, like, 7 dudes in here just staring at them while they did that, critiquing
every.
But they did great. They did great. They did a great job.
So
they're learning. A big step. So excited to have everybody with us today. 4 o'clock, we'll have our guy, Kendrick Haskins, on today. And then 4:30 for Weird Wednesday. I've got Lilith on the, you know, number one on the list. We'll talk about Lilith. But I heard something on the way here that just. It blew my mind. So if we get to it, we get to it. If not,
that's a good tease.
Yeah. We'll save it for next week. But I don't know. I heard something. I was like, I'm gonna stop the van. I listened to a podcast the way over, and I was like, whoa. So we'll see if we get to it. Depends on how long we talked about Lilith and everything. Because we talked about her last week. And, you know, I said we'll do a follow-up. So we're doing that. Obviously, NBA draft stuff today is the NBA draft kicks off. We have sound from Jay Billis on Reed Shepard. We have a bunch of sound.
Bam Adebayo just got locked up 3-year, $166 million.
There you go.
Stay in Miami.
Yes. Now, are you good with that, Tanner? I know you're a Heat fan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good, good.
He's going to be a defense player of the year next year.
I know you love you some Bam for sure. So we have that. We have some Mark Pope sound about the difference between him and Cal and Tubby. And then Zach Cantrell, he listened to Calipari on Pat McAfee today. And it's the first clip that I listened to. It's going to send you through the roof.
Oh, God.
It's going to send you through the roof.
I got to start doing some deep breathing exercises.
Yeah, go ahead and start doing some. Do some yoga breathing or something.
Dissociate now.
I heard it and I was like, oh, boy. You're going to be mad.
Anna's going to
A majority
rip
of Kentucky fans
out.
Are going to be mad. Like, you're going to take a shot at Kentucky, not really, but just you'll have to hear it. So I plan on playing that at 5 o'clock because okay. I think that should lead the 5 o'clock hour.
Heck yeah.
And then I took one for the team. And here's how I took one for the team. And we'll talk about this at the 5 o'clock hour as well. There's this big controversy right now in Hoosier Land.
Okay.
With Mike Woodson.
Right.
And so there's this podcast group called Hoosier Hysterics. Anna, have you ever heard of the Hoosier Hysterics?
Has Andy mentioned it or something?
Yes, Andy's mentioned
that's
it before.
Probably where I thought he coined it, but no, it's a podcast group.
It's a podcast group. They do blogs.
Is it like KSR kind of like
bingo.
Idea of that?
Yes,
kind of, okay.
Yes. They say things like respect the chair when talking about the head coach position. It was cringe.
Do they have a restaurant? Or a bar?
They should. But anyway, one of them, it worked out perfectly because we talked to John Wong yesterday about his book. And in the book, in the first like few pages, the reporter gets called into the AD's office for, remember asking a question? John Wong told us he's been called into
and
the AD's office.
Blew my mind.
Well, they got called into Mike Woodson's office.
Bro, that's so not cool.
I'll tell you the whole story. Because there's an hour and 20 minute. I listened to the damn Hoosier Hysterics.
You committed, dude.
For an hour and 20 minutes. And I was like, I contemplated on sending it to Tanner. I was like, you know what? Tanner's too busy today. He's running the V show. He's already at clips for me. I'm not gonna subject Tanner to sitting through an hour and 20 minutes of Hoosier Hysterics and picking out sounds.
Tanner
I was like,
doesn't deserve
this. I was not doing that.
Yeah, so
you would have been like, hey, I really need your help. Like, hey, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I took over the team. I did it. I listened to it. I didn't put the sound because I'm like, most of it is they cuss a lot, which I'm not going to bleep stuff. I don't know how to bleep stuff out. There's so many things I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll do a summary of the story. Then Rick Bozich wrote an article about it, which is funny for another reason that we'll get to later. But, no, we have a jam-packed
show today.
It's going to be a good show today. Yeah. Random summer Wednesday. And we've got some good stuff today. So 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We're live in the Liquor Barn Studios today. So we're happy to be here. Now, before you came in here, Anna, there were two music groups in here.
I saw that.
Nappy Roots and the Villbillies.
I can't believe it. If I had known, I would have pulled up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
It was just Be Still from Nappy Roots.
It's just Be Still from Nappy Roots. Okay. Just him from just one member of Nappy
He's
Roots.
He's got a good beer, though. I don't know if it's still
beer?
There.
Yeah.
I thought you said a beard.
Nick drank them all.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're gone.
It was good, though. It was a watermelon tasty. Twist of like a golden ale.
Oh
yeah.
And it was like, when I first heard it, I was like, watermelon with beer? That sounds surprisingly really good.
Yeah, when you get into the beer culture, Tanner, there's all kinds of...
I'm there.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't do mixed drinks. I don't do like cocktail. I mean, I'll do it at like certain bars, but like,
right.
I rather would have like a beer or an IPA.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Now, well, you and I just made a connection. I didn't know that about
you,
Tanner.
Did y'all just become best friends?
Oh. I think we did.
When who was it? Brewery down the road. Whenever you brought
Noble Funk.
When you brought those in, you're like, yeah, take as many as you want. I was like, I'm all right, grabbing three of those.
Yeah, he did. He's loading up, which is fine with me.
I stole them.
You just a beer guy.
No, I told you to do that. You didn't steal them. I said, Tanner, go ahead, get what
permission.
You want. And, of course, he did. All right, so the NBA draft starts tonight. And, Anna, there are increasing reports out there, one of them being Truly Donovan, saying that the Hawks are going to pick Reed Sheppard number one.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Then DeJounte Murray would have to get traded or Trae Young.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the two. But those are some of the reports coming out.
My mind hasn't caught up with the fact that this kid is about to get as drafted as high as he is. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've processed that.
I didn't know this, but I learned this today. Reed Sheppard will be the first top five pick since De'Aaron Fox.
Yes, and he'll be the first he'll be probably the highest kid from Kentucky to be drafted since Rex Chapman at number 8. What?
And he's going to be higher than that. I mean, he's going to go in the top 3.
That's so insane. Like, that You guys, I haven't conceptualized that yet. Like, yeah. I know it. I've read it. But, like, his legacy, I think it's been, you know, overshadowed with the fact the coaching change, everything.
Sure.
But the fact that, like, he's Jeff Shepherd's kid. He came and outperformed, overperformed the way that he did. He didn't start. I always have to say that because it's something he's mad. That's why I still can't fully get on board, because I have cognitive dissonance, the fact that this kid didn't start.
Right. No, absolutely.
And he's about to go this high in the draft.
Possibly, and he played in one tournament game.
And he's, like, from North Laurel. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
This is so insane to me. Like, yeah. My mind hasn't caught up with it yet, but it couldn't happen to a better kid.
He's been on a bit of a tour. He threw out the first pitch last night in New York. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
He did. Yeah, so Reed Shepherd, you know, he's doing the pre-draft stuff. And we're going to play some Jay Billis down here in just a second talking about Reed Shepherd.
All right.
Since he'll be, you know, he'll be the highest Kentucky player drafted this year. And, you know, in a few lean years, lean as in not as many top 10 draft picks as we're used to, not as many first round draft picks as we're used to. It just so happens it's the year that, you know, Cal's not here anymore, that they kind of, Kentucky kind of gets back on track, and then I, you know, that leads to a bigger discussion that I want to have here as well.
I'm curious too, just real quick, what I wonder who is the highest kid from Kentucky that's ever, like, what is the highest kid from Kentucky has ever been drafted? Like, I wonder if there's
Anthony
been like
Davis.
A number. What? Do I know that?
When they're like native Kentucky.
Native Kentucky.
Oh, native Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, well, that's an obvious answer.
No. It's native Kentucky kid.
Tim Couch.
Right. Tim Couch.
It has to, well, yeah, for football.
But
yeah,
it's got, no, but it's got to be like the NBA. Like, it's got to be like somebody from like the 50s.
I mean, it's probably Rex Chapman.
Yeah, that.
I mean, like you said, at number eight.
Number eight, but like, you don't think in the 50s, maybe like Louis Dampier or something?
I don't know how the, I don't know how that works.
So, like, it's a good question. Reed Shepherd could be the highest drafted, like, Kentuckian ever.
Yeah, for the NBA, yeah, absolutely.
That's wild.
And
dude,
he had the first pitch last night, the Mets game.
I hate Google.
I know.
I look up Kentucky natives in the NBA. Bam Adebayo, birthplace, Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Brandon Boston, Georgia. Anthony
that's
Davis.
AI. That AI is working.
I asked for Kentucky natives.
Oh, I know something.
Oh, Aiden knows something. Okay, Aiden.
But you got
Aiden.
To
the mic,
I have
Aiden.
An answer, because D'Angelo Russell went second.
Oh, good one. There you go.
Okay,
that's it. Intern Aiden.
Yeah.
He's
killing it.
Stump the Schwab.
I'm so
Let's
proud
go.
Of him.
All right. Intern Aiden.
Great job, Aiden.
We think Kentucky basketball players, and we, you know, players from Kentucky, and we automatically think they all go to Kentucky.
Right.
And yeah, D'Angelo Russell, obviously.
Especially for someone
Ohio
who's playing
State.
At the same time as, like, Cal and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I forget about him a lot, that he's Louisville guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's from, I believe he went to Ballard High School. Played at Ohio State, and then, yeah, he went number two, so nice pool.
Great job, Aiden.
Texture said Allen Houston was number 11,
okay,
I think.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's absolutely a good one. So, yeah, we'll go through these texts here in just a minute, but, you know, Reed Shepherd throwing out the first pitch, and then Jay Billis.
Ah, Daryl Griffith, too.
Daryl Griffith, yeah.
He's
drafted two, right?
Second.
So okay. Daryl Griffith and D'Angelo Russell. This texture says Daryl Griffith went number one. Was it one or two?
It just said two.
Two, okay, so yeah, so Tanner's
sorry to hijack the show.
Tanner's Google
trivia.
Machine. No, this is good stuff, because I mean, I that's a good question.
It's just like, I just, like, popped in my brain. I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is historic.
Yeah,
you know, to watch this. And
absolutely.
It doesn't feel like it yet to me.
No,
I don't know why.
Well, I think you're right. I think the number one, the coaching search, and all that dominated the news cycle when it comes to Kentucky basketball. And then everything right now is just all Mark Pope, Mark Pope, Mark Pope, as it should be. I'm not saying, but I do feel like some of the draft stuff is getting lost in this. It's not the, now again, I'm not saying that Mark Pope and Kentucky still aren't celebrating the draft picks the way they were celebrated under Cal, because there have been tweets and Instagram posts and things today. Mark Pope even tweeted himself,
right?
You know, about the NBA draft. So it seems like Kentucky still wants to be a part of that culture, but at the same time, it's not the emphasis anymore.
I think you're right,
and I think
though,
you
Anna.
Can't claim it as much. You know, what
if,
was that?
If he were to go first overall tonight, he would be the highest because everyone that I've looked at. And anyone that's, like, good enough, like, I can recognize the name and be like, oh, you're picked high. The only other one that I could think of is Wes Unseld, but he went second overall too. So
okay,
that's crazy.
Texter also corrects me. D'Angelo Russell went to Central High School. Some respect on my Yellow Jackets.
Yeah,
absolutely,
baby.
I do want to disrespect the Yellow Jackets. IRP Ty Scroggins for sure. I taught his twins. St. Paul. Great guy. He was the head football coach there and won some state championships. Just an awesome guy. So he went to Central, not Ballard. But it shouldn't be lost that when Cal was here, today would be just inundated with draft stuff and Cal talking and going on SportsCenter and going, you know, he's on Pat McAfee today and he did talk about the draft and stuff like the NBA players, how much money they make. I mean, that's all we hear. We see Cal and hear from Cal all over the place about the NBA draft, and it's just not the same.
Right.
I didn't recognize this, but Andy pointed this out to me. So, you know, that you've been in the Kraft Center a ton.
Yeah.
And you know how they had like the posters of the NBA guys.
The whole wall of it?
Yeah, it's gone.
Get out.
Man, maybe not the wall, but like there were like posters in the practice facility.
Oh, yeah.
Of like different that he pointed out. And I went back and I watched like the highlights and stuff that Kentucky's been posting. They're not there.
Really?
Which is all kinds of interesting.
Definitely so. I understand so many sides of it, though. For one, just going back to what you said about how this day used to be like, you know, Christmas. Because I think it was like a balm to soothe our souls after the season didn't go as well. It was a way to get national attention, to feel nationally important, to feel better than other programs. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a way to do that. And so now when you don't have to lean on that as much, it just feels weird. It's just like the first time without it, right? It's just change.
Right.
I think the other thing is like, I think Kentucky, the program, obviously is so proud of these guys, but I think there's probably, they're trying to be careful not to step on toes. Like, it's just a different administration. Like, these aren't our guys we recruited. I think it would look a little bit tacky to take too much ownership over it.
Sure.
So I'm sure they're celebrating them, but I'm sure they're trying to walk that fine line too. But there was another point I was going to make, but I cannot remember what it is. But so interesting, the difference in, architecture or interior decorating there.
Yes.
At the Kraft Center now.
Interior design. Now, Pope did say yesterday at his press conference about the draft, quote, "We're super excited about the draft. We've got five guys eligible for this draft, and there's going to be some more history made with Kentucky basketball in the NBA draft. We're super excited for these young men and what they contributed here, what they're going to do in the future." Okay. And he still says he wants it to be a mainstay of Kentucky basketball, that they have a good relationship with the NBA, and he wants to, you know, continue that. He also says, quote, "In our 10 years, it's been a defining feature of Kentucky basketball, looking at these great coaches on the wall here. Like, come on, this is a Mount Rushmore of coaching in all of college basketball. Clearly what Cal has done, what he's done is incredible. Tubby put some of the greatest pros to ever play the game into the NBA. Patino, he took a lot of he just called him Coach, though, but we all know it's Coach Patino. He looks a lot younger here, but still just as animated. Love you, Coach. My team had 9 guys go play in the NBA, and the tradition at Kentucky of having great players come here, hang banners, and go play in the NBA is part of what makes this place so special," end quote. So Pope, you know, doing his best to say, you know, we're not discarding all of this. Like, we still want these caliber of players to come to Kentucky, and that we will also celebrate and honor the NBA draft the way it had been in the past.
And he's a player who took part of it, you know, who was involved in the NBA after Kentucky, too. I think that's a part I didn't really think about until right now, you know.
Yeah,
he never played in the NBA.
He played it with a bunch of them.
Gone through the process.
Exactly.
You know, he's counted among all those who did it as well.
So sure.
That's also a unique part of the tradition, too. I guess playing for a guy who's also been in the same shoes as you, coming out of Kentucky, going to the NBA. That's kind of special. It's kind of cool. But yeah, I guess he's talking about Rajon Rondo there, talking about Tubby's players.
Sure, yeah.
Some of the best guys. That's a great point, though. You know, we sleep on Tubby, but he put some people. It's not just Ben Cal.
It wasn't just Cal.
Cal.
Well, and then Patino. Mm-hmm. Before him, even Eddie Sutton, Joe B. Hall, like, they've all had this tradition of putting dudes in the NBA, and it wasn't just Cal.
It's not just going to stop.
It's not just going to, exactly. I mean, it's just not going to stop here. He held Chuck Hayes in the NBA for 40 years. Right. I mean, he was on the Rockets forever.
Forever. He still haunts the halls.
Yeah, I think he's still in Houston. But, I mean, for Tubby Smith to have as many as he did and everything, it's not just going to go the way of the dodo, what a musty term that is. That was the last time you used the way of the dodo.
I didn't even know that was a term.
Okay, I'm old. Have you ever heard that? Gone the way of the dodo? Both of them shake their heads. God bless.
Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's just put him back in the home.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, wheel me out of here. Facility. Put me in the wheelchair. You shove me down the street.
Just smile
back
and
in
nod.
My day, we had the milkman drop off the milk at the door.
We didn't say Riz. We said the way of the dodo. That was slang in my time.
That was a deep cut.
I'll say stuff like that, and my kids will be like, they'll just look at me what is wrong with this guy? Last night was kind of sad, kind of not sad. I'll say this real quick. We'll play the Jay Billis sound. But so last night, Corey goes to bed at like 9 because she has to get up early and go to work, and that's usually the time like Reed wants to go down anyway. So the whole thing, you know, I sleep but he sleeps, like she does that. So you know, she'll go to bed when he goes to bed. And so I was just kind of up, and I've been catching up on some older movies that I used to enjoy when I was younger, and I've been rewatching the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Okay.
And so last night I'm watching Batman Returns. I just put it on, and she was in the shower, and so I was like, well, she's going to go to bed soon, so I'm just going to put this on.
Yeah.
And so she comes out, and she was like, "What are you watching? What is this?" I was like, "It's Batman Returns, honey." And she's just like, oh.
Oh, God.
And so Wyatt's sitting on the couch, too. So I thought he'd watch it with me. But his face was buried in his iPad the entire time. And I'm like, "Kellen, do you want to come watch this?" And he's like, "I'm on Xbox. I'm playing Fortnite." And yes. And so I'm like, well, fine. Well, my hero saved me.
Ellie comes
upstairs, sits on the couch, and she's like, "What is this?" I said, "It's Batman Returns." And she's like, "Can I watch it with you?" So we watched it together.
Did she just melt?
Yeah, I did.
Your heart just
she
melt?
Loved Catwoman.
Of
she
course.
Was so, she was so mad because Batman and Catwoman were like in a romantic relationship. They didn't know each other's alter egos.
Oh.
Like when they're Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, and then when they're Batman and Catwoman, they're fighting each other. And she was like, "I just wish they would know. I just wish they'd find out who they are so they could be in love." And I was like,
"Oh, yeah." So she was invested too. She wasn't doing any favors.
No, she wasn't doing a favor.
That's your girl.
Once the movie grasped her attention, she was like all in on
it. She's your road dog.
She is.
Like, she's
she
your
really
buddy.
Is. Yeah, we spend a lot of road time together.
Yeah.
I take her to all of her tournaments, not all of them, but the ones that go out of town.
Yeah,
cause it's just hard to transport. Really.
For sure.
And so I'll take her. And so we do spend a lot of father daughter time together. So yeah, she's become my little buddy.
That was like me and my dad.
There's Nick Valvano. Hello, Nick. How are you?
What
are you
getting? Nick?
Oh, Bucky.
Oh, we got the Bucky. I've always wanted to try these.
Yeah, I want a beaver nugget.
I have always wanted to try because I have seen pictures of them forever. Body
oh,
of Christ,
those are really
amen.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah.
Those Bucky's beaver nuggets are spectacular.
Oh, my God, they are good.
Aren't they good?
Let me just crunch in the microphone.
Everything there is good.
I have been wondering about these forever, you guys, because I've always seen photos.
They're really good.
At first, I couldn't tell. I was like, are they sweet, savory? Are they chicken nuggets? What are they? But they're good.
They're so good.
What are they? What's the flavor?
It's like caramel.
Yeah, caramel.
Yeah, just You say caramel or caramel?
Depends on the day. Depends on who I'm with.
All right, let's play this. So Jay Billis.
Dang, those are good.
Talked about Reed Shepard. Tanner, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and play this Jay Billis sound. Jay Billis on Reed.
Reed Shepard, best shooter in the draft in my view, and put up numbers last year that I certainly haven't seen in a long time. And if I have seen it, I don't remember it. Shot over 50% from three, knockdown free throw shooter, good defensively. Like his coaching staff at Kentucky at that time probably would have preferred he spent more time on his man responsibilities than being more of a free safety. But, you know, he's guaranteed two steals a game. Really good passer and good ball handler, can play the point, and proved at the combine he's way more athletic than people would think. I thought he was very humble and kind of played it off that sort of his vertical numbers in both the standing vertical and all that surprised him. He was like, I don't know what happened there, but you know, he proved that he's athletic, and you know, he took it to dunk several times during the season and made game winning plays. I think he's going to translate really well to the NBA because of that shooting piece, the fact that he can handle and pass it so well. And I always kind of think back to when Kyle Korver came out of Creighton. The thing was, well, he doesn't put it on the deck, and you know, he's not going to be able to drive around people and all that. And people complained about his athleticism. Now, how long are you playing in the league? Like 15 years? and Reed Sheppard is gonna stretch some defenses out, and really good cutter as well, playing off the ball. So I like him. I like him a lot.
Okay, there we go. So Jay Billis, with nothing but great things to say about Reed Sheppard. I mean, his only critique, Anna, was the defense. And I think that was one thing about Reed Sheppard that maybe frustrated some fans was he did get beat a lot. But some of that was due to his aggressiveness on defense and his, you know, trying, like he said, he's guaranteed two steals a game. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying to go for the ball. He's trying to create havoc. And it would have helped more if we would have had a more reliable shot blocker.
Or a more reliable defense of where you're supposed to be, when to help.
Yes, well, other teams able to help and other teammates able to help
out. And knowing where you're supposed to be and when's the time to hedge, when's the time to not. So I think that's the thing with the defense that was so atrocious this year. It didn't do anybody any favors. Cal's whole thing was, you know, it's too much for him. I don't want to put it in. It's like, hey, you're really making them look worse because they look like they don't know where they're supposed to be.
Right.
They don't know when to hedge. They don't know when to, you know, anticipate a steal. I think that was the big thing with Reed. A lot of it was just not knowing where you're was where you were supposed to be, but I think he has all the basics and athleticism to be a fantastic defensive player, and we saw that. And we know, like, on offense, he's pretty good at being where he's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I think he can figure it out on defense if he's given a clear-cut plan on what he's supposed to be doing. That doesn't seem as big of a concern to me. I think if he's got, like, a good direction and good guide on, you know, when to attempt steals, when not to, when to kind of hang back, I think he'll be fantastic with a little more just refinement.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, I'll read some text here. We'll take a break. But one thing I wanted to ask you, we all know how great of a freshman season he had, how he exceeded expectations. And, you know, again, he's might be the number one pick tonight. We'll see. But do you watching Reed Sheppard play, do you feel like he has the makings of an NBA star, or is he going to be a mainstay in the NBA, but more of a, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a Ron Harper,
right?
Like the point guard for the Bulls. That was, you know, he was really, really good.
Yeah,
but, you know, he wasn't a superstar,
top five pick.
Now, his son is on track, you know, to possibly be a star. Yeah. But you know, do you, like, Steph Curry or Ron Harper is basically what I'm saying. Where Steph Curry came in and just was way better than I thought. I didn't think Steph Curry would be anything special in the NBA.
Yeah, and for a person, Steph Curry was not like out in your face athleticism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to be so impressive and to be such a mainstay. That's a great question. I was actually just thinking about that as we were listening to Jay Billis talk about Kyle Korver, because I guess I haven't really envisioned it, what it would look like for Reed Sheppard as he gets into the NBA.
Right.
I just don't know, because his career at Kentucky just didn't even look like what I thought it would.
No.
To be so consistent. But I think he's going to be... He doesn't seem like he's going to be a flash in the pan. Like, he's a consistent player.
I think so.
So sound fundamentally. Any team can use what he has to bring to the table. You know, he's proven a lot. I don't think he's, like, got so much potential that he has to grow into. He's already doing it.
Yeah.
I think he could be a reliable asset to any team. It just depends, I guess, on the team that you land on. But maybe like a bit like a JJ Redick too, is kind of what I see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not like, I don't think he's going to be a star player on a team, but I think he's going to have a significant role for a long time and be able to do significant help to a team. I don't think he's just going to be a random role player come in off the bench, you know?
Right.
I think with his skill set and what he does so well and the way he pairs it with his athleticism, I think there's definitely room for him. And he just seems like he's a consistent guy. It's not going to be a flash in the pan.
I just saw your sweatshirt.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I didn't think that this would bring up bad men.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Go Shabazz Napier, baby.
Yeah, it's my cleaning sweatshirt. It's
I just looked down and saw UConn, Kentucky, Florida, Wisconsin, 2014 NCAA Men's Final Four. I'm like,
that's the Comiskey year, right?
Yeah, No. That was no. They beat Wisconsin in the Final Four and lost to UConn in the championship game.
And then
they had no business losing that game.
Yeah.
That's another one Calipari whizzed away.
That was the one where someone asked me, like, oh, who's bigger, like Shabazz or Kemba? I was like, well, everyone knows Kemba was way better.
He
just got lucky going against Cal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
The moment I thought that Kentucky was going to win the game was when Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright were, like, screaming at each other on the court. Like, they were, like, they almost looked like they were going to fight.
UConn doesn't lose like national championships.
They though. Don't. You're they right. They don't. They, just, they get don't. There. They don't lose
even,
it.
Even Kevin Ollie was there.
Even Kevin Ollie was the coach. Ollie,
rising star.
Is Kevin Ollie a better college basketball coach than
John Calipari?
John Calipari.
4-3-7-9-6-8 Oh, I remember when Kevin Ollie won that championship. They were like, Kevin Ollie's going to be an NBA coach in the next year or two.
They crowned him. I mean, they, national championship does.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, he was. He wasn't. He didn't he finish off the year as the head coach of the Nets?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I know
yeah,
he was at least an assistant.
I think you're right. He did some time in the NBA. I don't know if it was a head coach or an assistant, but no, he did. But they were like, he was the hot coach in yeah. college basketball for like 5 minutes.
That was classic
after the championship.
Winning with the like, previous coach's players.
Yeah, it was like, wow, yes, this it guy's was. A really good coach.
Yeah, maybe
he
not.
Was
next
the
year
it
was like,
guy,
oh,
though,
it was all Calhoun's
at that
guy.
Final Four. He was
yeah,
the nicest
you said you
dude
had a,
ever.
You said a better, you had a better interaction with him than
oh
you had
gosh.
With Cal.
We were doing like the behind the scenes shoots with all the teams. And I was working with CBS, and Kevin Ollie walks in, and he just is like, "Hey, how are you?" I like looked behind me. I was like, "Is he talking to me?"
Like, right?
This coach is talking to me. Like I was just like a runner. I was doing
like I'm
cool.
a peon.
I was
yeah.
like, "Okay, cool. Look, guys, all right. People, we're friendly here. That's fine."
Yeah.
Cal walks in next. I was like, "Hey, coach, how are you doing?" And he like. Didn't flinch, didn't move a muscle in his face, just walked right past me. I was like, oh my God, sorry.
It's better than my
sorry
interaction.
Looking you in the eye.
That's better than my interaction with Cal. I told you about that. Me, yeah. Where I mm-hmm. said thanks for all you've done. And he actually shook my hand.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I took that as a win at the time.
Yeah. That would be considered a win. That would be an anomaly.
That's before I got jaded by sports radio.
Yeah.
That's what I was just doing, like Kentucky raw, pom pom waving blogging.
No, you were.
And I was young
you
and
water.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, absolutely. I was young and innocent and blind. And then I started working here and I was like, they all suck. All right,
change real quick, buddy.
All right, let's read some text here. Texter Reed is absolutely not sound fundamentally until he can play a little D, and he came from high school in a college that teaches it. Not gonna work. Go Cats. Okay, so that's a Kentucky fan that's down on Reed Shepard. I didn't think that he existed. Texter Reed Shepard looks like a number one pick of the second round. Thank you. Texter comparisons Mike Miller. We don't have to. Compare him to every white guy. Yeah. I mean,
let's do this again.
Doesn't it be every white guy?
All right, Larry Bird.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Larry Bird. Jason Williams.
Bob Cousy.
The white one.
Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy. Texter, wait till she sees the Halle Berry Catwoman. That movie's
Timothy
terrible.
Mozgov.
Timothy Mozgov.
Joking.
Yeah. Texter, did you hear about Diener? And the Hawk Tua bet Hawks to win NBA championship next year and Tua winning NFL MVP. There we go. Texter Streams sounded super disappointed to see Nick until he saw that Nick had food with him. I was not disappointed
Never.
To see Nick.
You were just glad it wasn't a hot dog.
I was like, hey, Nick. Yeah.
To you is food.
Yeah.
Nice to meet.
Last time was hot dogs. This time it's Bucky's. Bucky Nuts. Texter, gone the way of the dodo. Now, I'm not going to read that. Let's see here. Texter, yeah, Griffith was second. Sorry about that. Griffin, Wes Unseld. Yes, there we go. There we go. Texter, I wish all the cast the absolute best results in the NBA draft, but I have never cared enough to watch the draft. I watched Anthony Davis and nothing since then. Wow. Okay.
I used to be obsessed
How about
with
that?
The draft. Like, I used to watch every year. It was my dream to go.
And I was like, I would have an entire night around it.
Yes.
Like, I'd have drinks.
It was like Christmas.
I'd be texting
like
people.
Like, it felt like the NCAA tournament. Like, it was my dream to go to the NBA draft.
Yeah.
And then one year, my dad took my sister and her boyfriend, and I was like, okay, cool.
It's
awesome. Yeah, it hurt.
Phil.
It hurt bad. It hurt bad.
Man.
But we got over it, so.
Damn.
We're family again, so.
Texter, Trae Young to the Lakers, Shepard to Hawks, BBQ Chicken is on deck for the Hawks opponents. Shepard may grow to be a nice bench player, but to draft him this high is ridiculous. Dude couldn't guard me, and I'm 51 and washed.
I do think the defensive front court, or wait, what is it? What's it? Is it front court's the guards?
No.
No, back court's the guards.
Yeah.
I'm taking your sports card, Tanner.
I'm a hockey guy.
I'm a hockey guy. I'm a hockey guy.
That backcourt of defensively would be pretty. Trae Young and Reed Shepard. That's the thing. I do give Reed Shepard a little bit of credit with his defense. I think UK fans bash him way too much.
I agree with you. I think that's what Jay Billis was saying.
The Kansas game, he came out
Oh, he was a menace.
Like, he ripped like two steals right away, and then boom, it was like 9-9, and I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, no,
That's Stacy.
I think it was more. I think it was more of the players around him not knowing where they're supposed to be, and again, not having that consistent shot blocker there to erase
not
mistakes.
Knowing when to help.
All right, let's take a break on the other end. We got to get to this Texas A&M coach. I mean, this guy,
bro, he's
this
a guy, sociopath.
He is a sociopath. We're going to talk about him. Cats football. Athlon has 9 cats named to the All-SEC team. UVL football loses another commit. What's going on there? And more before we do that, let me tell you about my good friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Tri-State Men's Health has the fix if you're dealing with erectile dysfunction. They do a great job with that. If you're having troubles in the bedroom, it could be a detriment to your relationship and to your confidence. But Tri-State Men's Health, they have treatments that work when the pills or the herbals fail. They have treatments that have success rates well over 90%, and some treatments can have you lasting an hour or more. How about that? 6 locations, Cincinnati, Dayton, 2 locations in Columbus, all those in Ohio, then the 2 offices here in Kentucky, Louisville and Northern Kentucky. That's the new office, so go ahead and contact them today. Give them a call at 800-900-9654 or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to be a player. I don't want to play no more. Come out and play out. Crush a lot.
Texas says Justin is a jerk. He's judgmental.
No, we established that Justin is very judgmental. About just
yes,
about
he
every,
is.
Everything. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Tonight, the NBA draft, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7, and also over on 93.9 The Ville. So both stations will be airing the draft. It's delivered by Bear Nose Pizza, Thompson Brothers Plumbing, now hiring licensed and unlicensed plumbers. Go to ThompsonBrosPlumbing.com. ThompsonBrosPlumbing.com. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. The texter just said Louis got rig. LOL. Uh-oh. What happened? Did Louis get today? Tanner? Okay.
Oh, Tanner, I love that sweatshirt. It's a Bears sweatshirt, yeah. But it looks retro. It looks the Bears.
My wife's doubles. A huge Bears fan. She's from Chicago, baby. So she's a massive Bears fan. She hates the team.
I'm
though.
Not a Bears fan at all. It's my dad was born in Chicago as well.
Oh, there you go.
So there we go.
But go Cubs.
Go Cubs. Yeah, she's a huge Cubs fan, too.
Cubby.
If you see Zachy C running around back there, have him scurry over here. Go see how Louis got. So we'll talk about that. All right, 437-968 UPS Jobs text on. All right, so this story, Anna, is nuts.
All right.
So after Texas A&M, they lose to Tennessee in the College World Series final. And their coach, Jim Schlossnagel.
That is a hell of a last name, Jim
Schlossnagel. There are rumors of him bolting for Texas right after that game and then leaving A&M to go to their bitter rival. I mean, it's the same vibes that we had with Louisville fans.
Except now they'll join them in conference.
Now they'll be conference opponents.
That's what's
again.
So crazy.
Just like they used to be in the Big 12. And so they'll play the last game of the season. That's, rivalry Saturday or whatever. But anyway, so he was basically asked straight up, are you going to be taking this job at Texas? And he said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I took this job at Texas. Here's what he said. Quote, Because and then he berated the guy that asked the question. He said, "I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again, and that hasn't changed my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That would be like you asking Braden Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you've got to ask the question, but I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job. And I poured every ounce of my soul into this job, and I gave this job every ounce I could possibly give it." Right, that is...
I mean, we got to get this man mentally tested.
Yes.
For him to say that's selfish to ask the question, why is that selfish to ask
it's
the question?
It's not a selfish question.
And why are you so, you know, like, hot to react to it? What are you, you know, what's making you so mad about
it?
Well, we
know why.
And right now
we know why. Yeah.
But then again, if you know that you just took that job, what on earth is wrong with you that you would react that way? You know that's going to reflect back on you that you just said that.
Yeah.
And also, nobody asked about your big, long story and that you left your family or whatever you just said.
Oh, the sob story.
And the A&M job. Sorry, you're not going to work in like a coal mine. Like,
yeah,
you're
an oil
going
rig.
To coach
baseball.
They're
going to coach baseball.
And yeah, you willfully did that. And then I just like wonder what is going on in these people's minds. Like, you know, you took that job. You know, it's going to come out. So to react so aggressively to that question, what do you think that's going to make you look like? Like,
yeah.
What is it about your emotions that are so easy to get you to react that way? That's just so strange to me.
Absolutely.
Why would that make him mad?
Because he knew he was leaving.
But
and the coach speak thing to say, what they all say, and which is the right thing to say. I'm focused on my team and the game tonight. I'm not answering any of those questions right now. We just lost in the College World Series finale. I want to go be with my team and leave it at that. And that usually shuts it down.
And that's such a normal question to be asked.
It is.
The fact that that got somebody offended is just so... That guy scares me.
Yeah.
I'm like scared of him now.
Well, it says, you know, this comes from John McClain. Via Twitter, after his post-game performance in which he berated a reporter for asking him a question that had to be asked, if Jim Schlossnagel leaves the Aggies for the Longhorns, he'll have no credibility for the rest of his career and will be branded a liar by many. And obviously, that's what happened. And people are crushing him. And they should be crushing him.
Because it's like your mental illness is showing, like something that should,
yeah,
like,
something's
that is not
wrong
normal,
with you.
Dude.
And then he did a Q&A with the Texas media today.
Oh, he did?
Yes. And it went horribly, horribly wrong.
Because
the reporters are like, you know, what changed? Like, what, you know, you, and he like apologized for the way he answered the question. Like, dude, it rings so hollow.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not sorry for that. You're fake. But they kudos to the Texas media. They did not let it slide. Because in the end, even though Texas and Texas A&M media are kind of, you know, rivals or whatever, they're still all media members.
And I'm sure
and
a lot of
watch
the same members
backs.
Were there. I'm sure
yes.
it was a lot of the same media members were there.
Absolutely.
And that's just what's so... And, like, you know, if he does it to a reporter there, he's going to do it to you. The day's going to come where he's going to do that to you.
Yes.
But the thing is so funny is that I was really impressed with him in the College World Series pressers. You know, Texas A&M had those two fans who were being really awful to somebody. Like,
terrible.
Just horrible. And I really liked how... Whatever, Texas A&M's coach, Schlossnagel.
Something like that.
Anyway, how he handled it, I thought he handled it really, really well. So that was just shocking. But also, have you heard the rumblings that he accepted this job, or he was in talks to accept this Texas job back in April?
Yes.
After like the Georgia series. So he was going and recruiting to people to Texas.
Yes.
And then he was like making up recruiting visits too. He was like making them up recently to go like get this done. You're in the College World Series.
Yeah, man.
You did it to yourself. You just threw all the... If I were Texas A&M, I'd be so mad. Did you see their Barstool account?
Oh, yeah. I was so in support of that.
I think he got fired.
He got fired. Yeah.
Bring him back. Free him.
Yeah, the rig... Yeah, this says rig whoops. What do you mean whoops? What did I do? I didn't do anything. What am I getting whoops for? I don't know if I didn't misspeak. I know when I misspeak because everyone tells me. Oh, okay. Anyway, I don't know what that's about. But I lost my train of thought because I saw that in the corner of my eye and I was like, what? And I was
no,
like,
but text line will get you.
It will get me. It will
distract
get me.
Distract you.
It's absolutely insane the way all this went down. And, you know, I... Texas A&M's annoying. I think we're all in agreement there. Like, they have annoying fans. Their traditions are a little over the top, just, to say the
least.
They
don't even annoy me as much. They're just weird.
they are weird.
Like your weird cousin.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That you don't want to hang out with, but.
Yeah, they're absolutely crazy. So it'll be interesting because that just notches that rivalry up that much more. And, like, that rivalry need to be notched up anymore. They're both in the SEC.
Get them Yale leaders going.
Speaking of the SEC, Athlon put out their, you know, all conference list of players in the SEC. 9 Wildcats have been named to the preseason preseason all SEC team. Deion Walker, obviously, Maxwell Hairston, Berrian Brown, Dane Key, Jamon Pop, Dumas Johnson, he's the Georgia transfer middle linebacker, Marquez Cox, offensive lineman, J.J. Weaver, our guy who was in here this week.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sad. J.J.'s
he's awesome.
One of the nicest guys
It was a great interview, too. Mm-hmm. D'Eriq Jackson, another linebacker, and then Eli Cox, offensive lineman. So you have 2 offensive linemen, 3 linebackers. I mean, that's supposed to be one of the strengths of the defense. 2 wide receivers, defensive back, and then one defensive lineman. So when I'm looking at this, Anna, here's what worries me. It's nice to have 9, okay? Outside of 2 wide receivers, not many specialty guys. No quarterbacks, no running backs, no tight ends. The skilled players are lacking here. Mm-hmm. And I think Berrian Brown's there mainly because of his special teams work.
For sure.
Being a kick returner.
Absolutely. I'm surprised to see Dane Key on there. I love it. I'm happy about
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a surprise to me.
To say that, I think you're right, because he didn't have the best season last year. I mean, one of the big talking points of why Kentucky football was a disappointment were Berrian Brown and Dane Key. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were number 1, number 2 on the list, or actually the top 3 were Devin Leary, Key, Brown, why the thing wasn't working the way it should have worked.
Yeah.
And Dane Key had all those drops, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's rumors he was going to transfer, mm-hmm. and all these other things. So to see him in the list, I was a little bit shocked by it, too.
I'm happy about it.
It does comfort me that we do have at least 2 offensive linemen.
Yes.
Yes, because that's a huge worry.
Yeah. But Eli Cox, I mean, he faced a lot of flack after last season as well, though, you know, just being where he needed to be, and I don't know. That's interesting. But I'm not disappointed not to see a quarterback on there, I think, because I'm still just after last season.
It's a little hesitant.
We know a bit less than we did about Devin Leary, but I feel like Devin Leary was getting a lot of accolades, didn't pan out. So You know, so that doesn't – I don't feel uncomfortable about that, because you just don't – it wouldn't make me feel any better if Brock Vandegrift was on a list like this, because don't know.
I think you're right. And the Devin Leary stuff is interesting, too, because you're right. I mean, preseason last year, he was – you know, they're talking about him leading leading the SEC in passing yards. We had Josh Pate on here, was like, you know, he could be, you know, SEC player of the year I mean, even Dane Key talking about at practice, like, oh yeah, the ball he throws is different. That's coming off of Will Levis.
Yeah.
He's like, the accuracy, and what was the main problem? The accuracy was terrible. Now, again, I don't know if that was all Leary or the wide receivers weren't on the same page. There were a few throws that he made that were just completely off. The wide receivers were kind of like, oh, and looked like they weren't in the right spot. Like, they ran the wrong route.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense why we saw the change in receivers coach. And I think, you know, just the comments that have come out about that, I think that was a big part of it, too.
Sure.
The receivers not being in the, you know, the right places with their routes. But interesting list. I think it's a good list. There's just more people on it than I expected, but that, you know, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, same here. I didn't expect that many at all. All right, let's read some text here. Take a break and get to Kendrick Haskins. Texter, Dane couldn't find his house key. Texter, skill players aren't lacking. The rest of the SEC has 6 star players. LOL. You're probably right. let's see. Oh, there. Now I know why Texters are saying what they were saying. Never mind. I'm going to just go past it. Texter, ain't no way Blankenbaker or Rummage are watching any UK media person's back and defending them from coaches. That's a great point. I think you're right. But I don't consider Rummage and Blankenbaker And I'm saying this about myself too. Like, I'm not real media. I'm not like real journalists. And I don't think those guys can say themselves be like real media.
But there's a difference between like what we do and then covering a team. Covering a team, that's not what we do here. Like, right. Covering is like you're on the road with them. You're at every press conference. You're doing it for like, you know, like I think we discuss. I don't mean that with any disrespect or anything. But there's just a difference than like. When you really cover the team. Like, even my last show wasn't... I mean, we covered the teams, but it's not like when it's your one and only beat that you cover. It's just different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that 100% makes sense. And I think that's where it gets kind of like what John Wong was saying yesterday. It gets weird when you're around the coach and the players and everybody else as much as you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're sitting next to Cal on an airplane... Or you're sitting next to Stoops on the team bus, and then you write a piece about how they stink and they suck and all these other things. It's just tough to do.
I'm too big of a people pleaser. I couldn't.
I am too. I'm the same way. I don't like.
I need a pen name.
I don't like disappointing people or making people mad.
Hurting their feelings.
Yeah, yeah. I this is kind of how I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy and be okay and just good vibes all around. I'm the exact same way. So it'll be hard to, you know, Calipari, I'm sitting next to him on the plane and they lose to Vanderbilt. I'm like, Cal sucks. And
you're tweeting it. Yeah. Kicking a seat behind him and tweeting
exactly. Like, you see that, Cal? This is what I'm tweeting about you.
Tag him.
Texter, you just insulted them. They're capital J journalists. Texter, you don't lie. You know, Blank considers himself real media. No, you're right, Texter. You're exactly right. Texter, when your running back graduates and there is some uncertainty in your running back room after having a 1,000-yard back for 7 straight years, you don't get accolades. I get it. No, I'm not. I'm worried. Okay. I'm worried about the skill positions. It's concerning. I'm not saying they can't be good at all. We just don't know anything about these dudes. We don't know anything about Brock Vandergriff. We don't know anything about the running backs. We know nothing about them. They barely played their previous stops.
Yeah.
And they're going to start.
Even the offensive coordinator. Like, I know that there's a lot of film from Boise State, but, like, I don't know anything about to expect here.
I'm not Mark Ennis who went and broke down Appalachian State video when Scott Satterfield got hired. I'm not going to go sit
Mark Pope
and
at BYU.
Watch Bush Hamden highlights from Boise State. I'm not going to do it. Like, Tanner's like, hell no, Strebel. I'm not listening to Hoosier Hysterics for an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I did watch College of Charleston highlights, though.
You did?
Yeah, I had to.
Man. Well,
I did it with BYU and Pope.
Did you really?
Oh, my God. For hours that night. Me and my dad like went into the film room. We had notebooks out.
Pausing and rewinding.
Legitimately. I had a notebook.
Once Scott Drew wasn't coming here, I was like, all right. I mean, I'm sure we're going to miss out on someone, right?
Right.
So then I started looking. I was like, Dusty May. And then, like,
Josh Schertz.
Like, Josh Schertz. Oh, yeah. And then I was like, I remember on the gas bags because Nick asked me and Janky, what would you want in a coach? And I said, a full-blown psychopath that's going to freak out on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Hey, yes! I got my wish.
Yeah, there you go. You got your wish.
And then, when it got announced, I was like, wait, Kelsey, like, that guy was a psycho on Charleston. Like,
he was crazy.
And then, and he would always win games. So I was like, I wouldn't mind him. And then, like, they came out, Rummage is punching holes in the walls.
Oh, here. I heard the reaction Blank's in the studio. Like,
he's been through so much.
Blank's like, it's not. Oh, I'm forgetting his name already. He's going to win national championships in the future. What's his
Chris
name?
Chris Beard.
Oh, Chris Beard. Thank you. Yeah.
His moral compass is to win.
It's set to win. Yeah, set to Chris Beard.
And then, so everyone was freaking out. And then I was like, hey, has anyone done any video research on him? He's not a bad coach.
Right.
And then everyone was like, hey guys, he's not a bad coach.
Oh, 20 minutes. Really, it was first.
Yeah,
Tanner was first on the train on the PK train.
And, write that down.
Me and intern cowboy Matt McCarthy is no longer here.
But intern cowboy.
Me and him were like the only one. Like, yo, kind of love this Kelsey hire.
Yeah, well, you are ahead of the curve now. Everybody loves it. All right, let's take a break so we can get Kendrick Haskins in here, our guy from Wave 3. Hey, are Zero Homer Business ready to upgrade to their security? That was a terrible start. Sontrol of Louisville is the place to go. Locally owned, family operated for over 35 years here in the Kentuckiana area. They'll set you up. 355 star reviews on Google way outpaces all of the competition. They're the best in the biz. They have the best technology. They also have a team of local experts that'll work with you to tailor your system to your home or your business, and they'll service your needs and your system down the road. Check them out online, SonicTrollKY.com, or call them 502-966-8999. They also offer that no false alarm guarantee. That's right, no false alarm guarantee. So call them today. They also do cameras, badge access, fire monitoring, and control it all from your phone, SonicTrollKY.com.